And Johnny, we're going to chat mostly today about arthritis, and it's such a common problem and we hear about it all the time. Just to explain, first of all, I suppose, what it is.
So arthritis is basically a global term for just inflammation in the joints. There are lots of different types of arthritis. There's more than 100 different types of arthritis, but there'd be a few that we most commonly hear about, which would be osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. But you have other types as
What's the difference between those two, osteo and rheumatoid?
So osteoarthritis would be basically an age-related one, so normal wear and tear in the joints. So as we use joints, the same way as an engine in a car will run out over time, when we're using joints frequently, they can just have a bit of wear and tear, and that would be osteoarthritis. Rheumatoid then would be more an autoimmune disorder, so and you can get diagnosed with that basically at any age. So osteo would be, as we get older, the joints will kind of, you know, experience a bit of wear and tear, whereas rheumatoid is more to do with an autoimmune issue, so that the body's immune system kind of attacks itself a little bit and we get more widespread symptoms and inflammation and redness and more.
That affects the joints as well.
Yeah.
So osteoarthritis would probably be the more common of the two.
Osteoarthritis would be the more common of the two. When we're thinking about arthritis in general, it's a very common condition. So about 1 in 5 people in Ireland will have arthritis of some sort, 750,000. And you can also get it, these autoimmune ones where the kind of there's a rheumatoid issue, and there's up to 1,200 kids in Ireland that would have arthritis as well, and that would be more the autoimmune type.
And if you suffer from a rheumatoid arthritis, I presume it can affect multiple joints.
Yeah. So that's one of the ways that we would diagnose it. So if we're diagnosing the wear and tear, we would often use scans and our clinical assessment. So the physio or the doctor would assess the joints and be able to determine if they think there's an issue in one of the joints. The other type, we would use blood tests to help to diagnose. Sometimes the blood test can come back clear, but like you were rightly saying there, often we would find if someone has widespread pain, there's a lot of warmth and redness in the joints, and their symptoms are bilateral. So for example, if you have it on both sides of the body at the same time, it would be starting to signal to us that there might be an issue there. The younger people with the rheumatoid issue, just there's lots of good information out there for people on the Arthritis Ireland website, but it's 3/4 of these people would be working age, and once they're diagnosed, about half of these people would have to give up their job within 2 years.
So it can affect you at any age?
Yeah. You can be diagnosed at any age.
Is that serious?
Yeah.
Okay, and the thing about arthritis is that it tends to, if it doesn't stop you, then it slows you down and can impact on, you know, regular activity and to exercise, and that then, if it doesn't make the problem worse, it can lead to other problems.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a survey was done. Now, this information would be a couple of years old now at this stage, but when they were looking at people with arthritis in Ireland, a third of these people also suffered from depression. Half of the people in the survey weren't able to partake in their normal social activities. And as I said earlier, a lot of people ended up with the rheumatoid issue, having to give up work. So it massively impacts someone's life. So it's not just about being diagnosed with the actual issue, but there are so many other factors that then, you know, play a part.
Knock-on effect.
Yeah, hugely. A couple of other interesting stats there. A third of the people with arthritis will also then suffer from high cholesterol. Half will suffer from heart disease. Over a third will suffer from diabetes, and this is all to do with
lack of activity.
Yeah, being sore and not being able to do what you were previously. Yeah. So that impacts your general health.
So it's important really to get on top of it as early as you can, whether that's through a physio or maybe surgery or whatever it is, that you try to deal with it at an early stage before it progresses and then gives you a better chance.
Yeah, I think diagnosis is a massive thing, because the different types of arthritis there, we would manage in slightly different ways as well. So I think, you know, if you have any symptoms there, to contact your physio or contact your GP. And once you kind of are, you know, on the road to getting a diagnosis, you can then start to manage these things. And that would be the key word, is to manage them. At present, for these types of arthritis, there is no cure. Basically what we have to do is try and manage them as best we can once they're diagnosed.
I find that I've a bit of arthritis in my right hip, and I find that glucosamine, the supplement, actually helps a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people get relief from glucosamine and chondroitin. You know, I think supplements can play a part when we're talking about, I suppose, things that we can take into our body as well. Diet is huge for that. And when we say diet, it's not so much dieting as such, it's eating healthy. So weight management would be one of the biggest things that we can do. And one of the studies there was looking at osteoarthritis in the knee. And this would kind of be true for any sort of even rheumatoid issues in the joints. But for every 1 kilo of weight, you know, that we can lose or put on, there was a fourfold increase in load on the knee joint. So a 1 kilo difference in weight meant a 4 kilo, you know, plus or minus in terms of the pressure in the knee. And for people, you know, who are diagnosed as being overweight, they're twice as likely to suffer from knee osteoarthritis. And if they're diagnosed as being obese, they're four times more likely.
So it stands to reason the heavier we are, the more pressure we're putting on many
on
of our joints.
Yeah, hugely.
But there's no, once you have arthritis, there's no cure as such for it. It's a case of managing it.
Yeah, management would be the biggest thing in terms of management. Then what we would be looking at is, you know, physiotherapy can help people greatly. So trying to restore normal range of movement within the joints as best we can. Trying to manage swelling, you know, increase strength. Strength is actually an exercise is the best thing for arthritis of any type. So staying strong and keeping joints well supported by the muscle systems. And we know as well that even just aerobic exercise has a massive influence on general pain. So basically physiotherapy, exercise, you know, linking in with your GP, depending on what type of arthritis you've got, the GP can help with medication to supplement that. And like we talked about earlier, just weight management and trying to keep on top of that as best you can.
Some people might think that, well, I can't be, you know, I can't be walking too much, or I can't be going out jogging, I'm only going to make it worse. But not the case.
No, definitely not. What we tend to find is that if we overprotect a joint with arthritis, that pain will increase. So what we need to do is pick appropriate exercise and, you know, and engage in that, and that's the best form of treatment for it. So like you were saying there, there's a common kind of belief that if we have arthritis, that we need to stop and protect and kind of wrap ourselves up and bubble wrap, but what we need to do is find appropriate exercise and engage and keep strong and keep fit and keep healthy. Yeah.
All right. Some of your questions, or some of the questions in for you, I should say, Johnny. All my bones crack. Would you please ask John what's the reason for that?
So the cracking, can be a release of pressure from the joint. So synovial fluid and pressure. So my own knuckles and elbows and knees would crack as well. There is no link between the cracking and increased risk of arthritis. So I would tell that listener not to overly worry about that too much. When we do have osteoarthritis in joints, we can get a bit of clacking or creaking and clicking and cracking as well if the cartilage is worn away. So I would say to them, if it's pain-free cracking, it's not a big deal. If they have any of the other symptoms we talked about earlier, such as joint pain or redness or inflammation or stiffness, you know, to go to a physio or a GP and get it looked at. So pain-free clicking and cracking is okay. Painful clicking and cracking, we'd get it looked at. Yeah.
Doing a lot of running and currently have a sharp pain in the front of my knee. Also have a very tight quad. The knee pain disappears after time. Is foam rolling on the quad the best option? Using a foam roller.
What I would say is probably strength work would be the best option for that. What they're describing, and again, I couldn't completely diagnose, you know, over radio here, but it sounds a bit like runner's knee, which a lot of the time we solve with some stretching of the quadriceps, but largely it's strength work, maybe in around the hip and the knee to better control the way the knee is functioning, basically. So I would say number one is strength work there. Yeah.
Everything, the more I chat to you, the more I realise everything in the body is connected. And if there's a problem in one area, you don't necessarily have to work at that area to resolve it. That it could be coming from somewhere else, or if you strengthen somewhere else, it'll ease the pressure and the pain.
Yeah, the body's one team. If you imagine a player in a football pitch isn't doing his job right, everyone else has to start tackling in. So the main reason anything goes wrong in the body typically is either it's being put under too much pressure or it's trying to do a job it's not designed to do. So, you know, we can find sometimes that if a body part isn't functioning as well as it could be, we can get pain in other areas of the body. So I think that's part and parcel of kind of what a physio does. And one of the things I really enjoy about the job is you look at something and you try and, it's nearly like a bit of Sherlock Holmes work where you're looking away from even where the pain is to try and see what's triggering it. Yeah.
Okay. Please ask Johnny, is there any home cure for very painful plantar fasciitis? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, fasciitis.
My friend can hardly walk with this. She got a cortisone injection, but it didn't work.
Yeah, so plantar fasciitis is inflammation of the tissue in the sole of the foot there. So, you know, we keep going back to strength work as well, but some of the more recent research that's coming out is that even if it's painful through there, we need to try and figure out a way of taking a little bit of pressure off there. But really what we need to do is in some way make the tissue and the sole of the foot more robust. And the best way to do that is actually strength work that targets that specifically. Mm. So we can figure out ways of trying to take pressure off it with taping, orthotics, modifying the activities that we're doing, and in conjunction then with trying to make the tissue stronger and things like shockwave therapy, that's typically the best way to sort it. So there's lots of good stuff you can do at home, but I would say you might need a bit of direction. And as I say, a lot of it can be done from home then.
But it can be sorted.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Right.
And what does Johnny recommend for gout? Red blotches in arms and legs.
Yeah, and that would kind of fall under nearly the arthritic, the autoimmune type stuff. So what we would recommend typically is linking in with your GP, and through medication, you can kind of try and combat that. So the gout would be the formation of crystals within the joints. So it can be extremely painful, and you know, when someone has an acute flare-up, it can be very debilitating. But so I would say definitely link in with the GP, and through kind of modification of the diet and getting some medication, that would be the best course of action. Yeah.
Another texter says, I'm waiting on a hip, and my surgeon told me, so presumably a hip replacement, my surgeon told me not to walk as every movement is making it worse. The pain increases with every step and eases with rest. Well, that's a severe case.
And I think, you know, typically at the end of the road for the osteoarthritis, for the knee and the hip, once we're at the stage where really a joint replacement is needed, you know, I think people typically get a lot of relief once that occurs. And, you know, again, what I would say is appropriate exercise. So it's important to get a gauge of exactly what you can tolerate. I mean, if a joint is so worn kind of out that, you know, light kind of walking and small amounts of activity during the day are really flaring up symptoms, then the person might not get a lot of relief until the replacement occurs.
Mind you, the stronger you are, the stronger your joints are, in particular the hip that you haven't replaced, the stronger the muscles and the ligaments will be around it, the better before the hip replacement. So maybe something like swimming
would
be good.
Yeah, so I mean, strength work and exercise is the best hope of kind of, I suppose, giving symptomatic relief at that stage. And like you were saying there, if we know from a scan, so on a CT scan or an X-ray, a consultant has decided that they really have to go down that route, what I'd be saying is, you know, try and prepare yourself as best you can pre-surgery, because that's the best chance of, you know, a successful outcome post-surgery. Yeah.
Staying with the hip, a listener has called in to say, I had a hip replacement 5 years ago, suffering from stiffness now in her hip down to her knee on the same side. Anything that she can do for that?
Yeah, and when I'd be saying or hearing something like hip down through the knee, I think probably strength work would give someone like that good relief. So strengthening up through the quadriceps, so the front of the thigh and the back of the thigh, and even through the hip joint, can give relief. There's two types of stiffness that we can get. We can get true stiffness and we can get perceived stiffness. So true stiffness is basically where there's actual stiffness within the joint. And say if we've had a hip replacement or a knee replacement, You know, we might have a bit of stiffness in the one that's affected, but perceived stiffness then would be where if we have an issue and muscles get quite weak, the body can try and tighten up everything, you know, around the leg to nearly protect the thing. Yeah, so muscles can feel very tight in a leg that maybe needs a little bit of strength work. So I would say again, focus on maybe strengthening through the hip and the knee, and in a lot of cases that can actually make you feel less stiff. Yeah.
Okay. And finally, a listener had a knee replacement in 2011 and then a second one in 2018. Now the left shoulder is sore and the surgeon says that she needs surgery. Similar problem to the knees. Also diagnosed with fibromyalgia and has whole body pain. Anything that she can do for the pain?
I would be saying there again, you know, appropriate widespread, so head to toe strength program would be probably the best thing. We know from what the research is saying there that exercise therapy for the types of rheumatoid arthritis issues and osteoarthritis issues are the best form of treatment there. What I would say is maybe not a bad idea to link in with a rheumatologist. I know we have replacements kind of noted here, but with that widespread pain and the history of fibromyalgia, I definitely think that there would be maybe more of a rheumatic or a rheumatoid issue going on there. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any, you know, form of medication there or other treatment that they're engaging in, as opposed to the actual joint replacements.
And where are we at with, you know, up-to-date technology and medical advances when it comes to arthritis? I mean, are we any further forward to maybe not finding a cure, but just, you know, preventative measures?
Yeah, there is research out there in the States. So there was a couple of studies done, but one of them was looking at knee osteoarthritis. And there's a type of medicine that would be nearly like an ultrasound medicine, but over a sustained period of time. And it has, you know, quite good results. It was able to almost halve people's pain in cases of severe and moderate arthritis. So
where it already exists.
Yeah, and that's occurring at the minute in the States. And it's kind of a matter of time before, you know, maybe these things become available here. So there's always advancements in terms of the treatment options that we have. And again, with any type of treatment, again, like we were speaking about earlier, it's more management as opposed to finding a cure for these. But I think, you know, keep an eye out, and over the coming kind of years, there will be more treatment options available there.